Good morning. It is 9:09, a beautiful morning. We have hit 70 now. And welcome to Over the Garden Fence with your host, gardening expert Andy Waddell. And Over the Garden Fence brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Florist and Garden Center at the corner of Milam and 12th Street. And now here's your host, Andy Waddell. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Larry. It is beautiful.
Oh, yes. Love it.
Hey, 70?
Mm-hmm. My kind of weather.
That's right. That's right. And the sunshine this morning is just a great opportunity to be outside. I just think it's gorgeous out. So, Larry, you got some dirty fingernails this morning?
No, not yet anyway. Well, I think lawn mowing is probably in my future. But
Oh, you don't have a shovel or rake in the studio here?
No, I don't.
But lawn mowing's in your near future.
There you go.
That lawn is growing fast.
Oh.
It is.
Can't keep up with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to...
Thought that's why I had kids, but it didn't work out that way.
It's hard to pay the kids when you say, hey, go out and mow. No, I don't want to. Now out and mow for free.
Uh-huh, I know.
Well, good morning, everybody. And I'll tell you, thanks for joining us. And what a great week. We had 2 and 7 inches of rain at the store earlier this week. We are really, truly being blessed with the moisture and the cool weather compared to last year. And kind of really throws off all the saying sometimes, yes, global warming is an issue, but highs and lows, you can see 100 degrees last year and 70 degrees this year. It's quite a change. So, and boy, do us gardeners and landscapers love it, because, you know, it's nice to get out and be able to work and not sweat so much that you're collapsing by noon. And so far, a lot of our plants really love this weather. But some plants are actually adjusting to this different weather, and some are doing good, and some have some challenges. Right now, tomatoes. Tomatoes are huge and lush, and lots of you are seeing none or very little fruit at all. Cool, moist, warm, and then cool has been bringing on a lot of nice big plants, but just not bringing on enough fruit. And really, a lot of it is not either enough sunlight or not enough heat to bring on that first crop. So I suggest, if you can, to put on the Fertilome Root and Bloom. It's a 9.59.8 for better flowering and fruit production. And number two, I was with a team of former Waddell employees and friends last night, and Mary had said that some of the tomatoes were close to 5 feet tall, but hardly had a fruit on them. So the fruit was all down below. And a lot of that is because that fruit set when it was 90 or 95 degrees a couple weeks ago, and then with all the cool weather, shot right up, and it's covering it. So I suggest prune your tomatoes. Go ahead and clean them up. Clean up the bottom foliage. Get off the splash on that underside of the leaves on the bottom couple rows. They aren't doing a bit of good anyways now that the plant's matured. And then open up the plant to the sunlight. Go ahead and remove some of that upper foliage. Let some of that sunlight shine in on the green tomato that's farther down. Corn is huge. Corn is by far some of the largest corn produced lately. Other friends of ours, former employees last night, said some of the corn was 12 to 14 feet they had measured near their house. But a lot of it is not producing, again, a lot of large ears. Nice long ears, but not much depth to them. With the hairs already turning brown, there's not much more you can do. The corn is already spent. If you have second or third plantings of corn, you could always do some side dressing. But the main thing is, the few Japanese beetles that we do have, if they're eating the silk off of that corn, which they love, that will not pollinate. So a few little Japanese beetle traps or putting down some 7 would at least help them. I went to the mailbox a couple nights ago, and like I said, no, this is field corn, not sweet corn next to me, but that corn, Larry, was probably 10 feet at least tall.
Wow.
It was huge. But the corn ears themselves were all real little. They're real long, but and a lot of that is, and the hairs are already turned brown. A little too late. So, again, a couple things. Top dressing. We talked about keeping up on the tomatoes. They're succulent. Definitely you can Do a top dressing with that root and bloom, and you can also do peppers. Peppers would be an item that right now really would like that heat so they can kick in. And the other thing that could do some pruning as far as fruit is your grapes. Linda from Lawrence a couple weeks ago had said that she's having a rust on the grapes. A lot of times getting that sunlight up and into the plant better, pruning off all the leaves. And yes, you can take too many leaves off a grape too, but you can prune some of that top foliage off, exposing some of that fruit. The fruit dries out easier. And yes, you can put on a broad spectrum fungicide on it, and that would help also on your fruit, but opening that up. Last night I had the very nice enjoyment of picking our peaches. There is beautiful crop. Waited a little bit too late on the Reliance because the Red Haven, we thought we could pick them all at once. But the Reliance peach, I can tell you all, would be by far my best choice over Red Haven, even though I love Red Haven peach. Some of them were bigger than a small softball and red, almost like an apple, and sweet. And then if you all haven't tried Saturn peach, it's not a popular name, but it shapes itself like a donut. It is not a round fruit. It is more of a donut-shaped size fruit. And Jenny from our nursery brought those in on a party yesterday, and they were sweet like candy. White flesh on them, just a wonderful treat. Small little things, but very, very nice to eat. So a couple of things. It's kind of nice to see some of the harvest starting to come on, and hopefully you guys are having good luck in your yard too. I tell you, in Michigan right now, we're having a couple major issues. If we can change directions a little bit and get out of the gardening and get into the landscape, we're really having some problems with some of our good evergreens that we consistently use in the landscape and natural native plants in Michigan. And one of them is hemlock, or Canadian or Michigan hemlock, faced really a big threat to a very tiny insect. The Michigan Department of Agriculture is reminding homeowners, land managers, and all commercial sites, there is a new bug. It is called hemlock woolly adelgid, or HWA. It can be seen year-round, and spring is really one of the better times to inspect the hemlock, but it is a tiny aphid-like insect that damaged the hemlock by inserting its mouth parts into the base of the needles and removing the plant fluids. The feeding activity results in needle loss, reduced twig growth, dieback, and death. HWA can kill the entire tree in just as few as 3 years. It was first discovered in Virginia in 1951 and infested all kinds of hemlock trees from Maine to Georgia. It has decimated hemlock stands across much of the eastern U.S. At this time, that bug was not known to exist in Michigan. Although it's been found here before and was documented, probably again, by plants being brought in from out of state, up by Harbor Springs, Petoskey, areas of Emmett Township. Later on, of course, growth in the area, they discovered it over in the Macomb Township, and then recently just in the Grand Haven and the Holland area in Ottawa County. These sites were required for removal and destruction and of all infested trees, treated the hemlock's close proximity of those infested trees with insecticides, and conducted a little follow-up survey. The biggest threat for this bug is that myself as a nursery buyer and grower is the importation of hemlocks, primarily from nursery and landscape trades. That's why Waddell's, we grow our own Canadian hemlock at our farm, and any bigger hemlock we brought in, we buy in from Allegan, so there is no outside of the state hemlock brought in. If you ever have planted hemlock or had planted hemlock recently on the grounds, there would be a way to examine your plant. Examine your plant by the presence of white cottony masses on the underside of the outermost tips of the needle. It matures and covers like a cottony white wax filament that protects itself and its eggs from natural enemies and prevents from drying out. The cottony can be readily observed right now and into the early fall. So the key thing is we have over 100 million hemlock in Michigan alone. That is a lot. We've already had an ash problem, and I've talked to you before about emerald ash.
A million, wow.
100 million hemlocks.
100 million.
Yeah, could be possibly confronted with this bug. Think what hemlock does. Provides valuable diversity for animals, including birds and deer. Fish benefit from the cooling effects that hemlock provide to the streams and the rivers that they grow along. So it's a key thing. So if you're having hemlock brought into your yard or you have them, take a second look. Look at the outermost tips. If you have anything in question, bring it into the store. We got a good team can look at it. And Fertilome systemic soil drench would be what I'd suggest to put on its roots. And if you find something on the tips that are representing what we talked about, 38 plus or a malathion would be the spray that I'd put. I love hemlock because it's soft, easy to play under and sit under. It's the cooling of a hemlock is absolutely beautiful. And the last thing I want to do is lose the crop. We go over to Covert Campground sometime over along Lake Michigan, and there is a native grove of hemlock that's stunning when you pull in and follow down into the campground, go to the lakeshore, Lake Michigan. The last thing I want to do is see them go. So, Larry, when we come back, I've talked about hemlock, but we've also got a spruce problem in Michigan, too, that is really hitting up on a lot of our Colorado and Engelmann spruce.
And and we'll get into just that when we come back. If you have a question for Andy, let us know, 382-4280 or toll free 877-382-4280.
Now is a great time to improve your outdoor living area with quality plants from Weddell's Nursery. Weddell's has an excellent selection of blooming hydrangeas this week, and they're all 25% off. You'll love the new hydrangea varieties that bloom over and over throughout the summer. One of the newer additions to the hydrangea family is Invincible Spirit. This hydrangea has exceptionally huge flowers that open to hot pink and mature to soft pink. There's endless summer hydrangeas, which bloom like crazy all season long. Another favorite is the prolific white bloomer, Annabelle. If you'd like a hydrangea with a little more height, the pink-blooming tree-form hydrangea is also 25% off this week. More easy care choices for blooms throughout the summer are rose bushes. This week, Weddell's entire rose bush selection is 50% off. Choose from over 50 varieties, including tea roses, floribundas, shrub roses, and climbing roses, all 50% off. Come to Weddell's and visit with the certified nursery specialist. We're always glad to assist you in selecting the right plants to add some color to your summer landscape. Weddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Centers on Texas Drive at the corner of Mill and 12th Street.
And we are back. It is 922, 71 beautiful degrees. And once again, here's your host for Over the Garden Fence, Andy Weddell.
You bet. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this morning. And you got any questions or any anything attacking the yard or maybe comments on what looks nice? Other weeks I've talked about the features in the yard, so let me know what's happening in your yard if you want. A few minutes ago, Larry, we talked about Canadian hemlock, and I had mentioned that everybody used to cherish a Colorado blue spruce. That blue really stood out, and it really was a focal point in a lot of people's yards. But what is happening to our spruce trees? It appears that many of the spruce have begun to lose a lot of needles and branches from the bottom up. Depending on who you may speak with, this may be called needle cast, and some of it may be calling it shoot blight. And still others may be calling it a canker disease. The reality is that they all may be right. And since the spruce trees have already had a common needle cast, a disease that is called rhizosphaeria, there is a possibility that it is on the needles of the trees and causing the needle loss. Since there's at least two, or maybe more, common shoot blights of spruce called diplodia tip blight, and Phomopsis, the shoot death that we could be seeing is being caused by one or more of the other fungal pathogens. At the minimum, these cankers are adding to the degree of difficulty for the survival of spruce trees. At the other end of the spectrum, the Phomopsis cankers are trumping all other spruce disease and are slowly killing out all our trees in the Portage and Kalamazoo area. Currently, what everybody is seeing the most problems with is Engelmann and Colorado spruce. Lighter versions, you might see a little bit on white spruce or Norway spruce. They're also ranked higher, though, for less susceptibility. Symptoms usually start at the bottom of the tree. Where the branches thin and the needles drop, shoot tips become infected, and the typical shoot blight symptoms are all at the outside of the branches. Ultimately, the branches die due to the cankers that form along the branches. The symptoms are like they almost follow a needle cast progression where they have found where moisture stays in the tree the longest, including the base of the tree where the branching is the thickest, and the rain and the dew remain the longest. The last couple times we've been talking about it, I had last time we spoke on this spring, I was at a client's house and they had 41 Colorado blue spruce, 41. And every one of those was being hit by irrigation, and not spray heads, but overhead irrigation that was knocking into the foliage almost every time. I suggest definitely diverting that sprinklers to spray heads that would not hit that foliage. But as I was standing in the lawn with the customer, he says, look across the street. See that spruce? That's what I want. That's the kind of spruce. See how pretty that one is? And I said, sir, do you see that across the street? The weeds are 4 or 5 feet tall. The homeowners aren't mowing. Look how pretty that spruce is. Very little care was taken to that spruce, and it's doing beautiful. A lot of heavy irrigation will really move the infestation throughout the plant. Making the plant wet a good part of the day is really, really hard on that Colorado spruce or the Engelmann spruce. So first, here's what I suggest. Prune the infected branches back to the trunk. Use Consan, dipping your pruners every time. Yes, somebody can say bleach works really good too, but the Consan has multiple uses that would always keep your pruners clean. Eliminate composting any of the tree's branches. Don't use them, throw them away, and get them into the garbage. Eliminate any competing trees. A lot of times, Colorado blue spruce, I've had many calls throughout the years that somebody planted them for their son's graduation, and they were going to sell them, and we planted them when he's little, and now they're 25 feet tall, and they're only 4 feet apart, or 3 feet or less. Get out the competing portions of the trees. Maybe you have to remove every other one. Sometimes the trees that are so close, they can't get the sun and the air to dry out. Next thing I would do, fertilize. Espoma tree tone or holly tone. Let's get some food on the spruce this fall. Number three, check the pH. Go ahead and find out. Bring in a soil sample to the store if you can. A sample under the spruce, they're going to like acid ground. But a lot of times with our irrigation, most of the ground is going very alkaline. So with a quick test, we can test for free what your pH is. Obviously, we've had plenty of moisture during the summer and fall, but please don't over-irrigate. That is the number one thing that is hitting up on the spruce. We're having a moist season. You don't even have to probably water spruce for the next month if it's an established plant. And then try Fertilone broad-spectrum fungicide. Go ahead and spray in the cool of the morning. Start it in the spring and work through the summer months. And combination of that should take care of some of the spruce problem. Larry, when we come back, we've talked about a little bit about hemlock, a little about spruce, but maybe we can go into the fruits and some of the good things that are happening with our fruits this week. A lot of farmers markets are opening up with a lot of fruit production, blueberries and strawberries and peaches we can come back to.
All right. Sounds good, Andy. And if you have a question for Andy this morning, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. Over the garden fence. We'll be right back.
You can keep birds visible in your outdoor living area year-round by feeding them the superior quality bird seed that you'll always find at Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center. This week, 9 favorite bird feeds are on sale. Attract a wide variety of beautiful birds with Waddell's Songbird Blend. This week, the 25-pound bag is on sale for $16.88 and save $3 on the 50-pound bag. Don't forget to pick up some of Waddell's famous No Hulls, No Waste Blend. It's on sale this week, too. Waddell's is also where you can get both of Roger Taylor's exclusive blends and many individual seeds that you can mix to make your own custom bird feed blend. Most of Waddell's bird seed varieties are available in 25 and 50-pound bags and sold in bulk, so you can get just the amount you need. You could also take advantage of Waddell's Wild Bird Frequent Buyer Program. Buy any 12 bags of mixed wild bird feed and receive the 13th bag free. Need a bird feeder? Waddell's has over 100 varieties, and this week they're all 20% off. Woodell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, Kalamazoo's bird feeding headquarters for 67 years, is on Texas Drive at the corner of Millman 12th Street.
And we are back. It is 9:29, and we're going to go to the phone lines now. We have Lori in Kalamazoo with a question. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, Andy. I have two euonymus bushes on each side of my front porch, which is the north side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they were about 3 to 4 feet tall. All of a sudden, they developed yellow spots on the leaves, and one completely died in a week, and the second one died the next week. Now, they didn't have any physical contact, but what happened?
Okay. So, first of all, Lori, is this euonymus that holds its foliage in the winter? Is it green, or is it yellow and green, or is it green and white?
Green.
Green. Okay, that's Manhattan or Green Lane or Vegetus euonymus. Lori, just give me a couple things. Gall is a growth that happens on euonymus. It is a looks like an apple or a contorted apple that a lot of times, I'm going to tell you about three things that will get euonymus. And gall usually will be down at the root structure of a euonymus, and a lot of times it's a growth that will come off the roots. It will suck all the nutrients out of the plant and kill it over time. It's not a quick thing, but that might be an issue that you might look at the base of the plant. A lot of times it is a contorted little knob or a gall that sticks out of the base of the plant. Number two, scale is the number one thing that usually will have a problem with euonymus. Lori, I know that we've had plenty of moisture, but sometimes that euonymus will go into stress, and scale or spider mite is what I'd look for. So can you do this for me? Can you, on the one that's still, you have still one that's okay, correct?
No.
Okay,
no.
They're both gone.
Within a week, both of them have lost all their leaves, and there's nothing but just the little branches.
Okay, so I'd take your fingernail and go out and scratch some of the bark. Let's find out, is the plant just defoliated or is the plant dead? That's two different things. And so definitely if defoliated, we want to encourage some new growth to come back on it. And usually what happens is either scale or spider mites will take care of euonymus foliage. It will turn it a, almost like a smoky yellow color. It'll be a spotted yellow. You look at that underside, and it'll have a smoky cast and a lot of little yellow dots. You look at the leaf from a distance, it's all yellow. But from a close-up, it has a spotted cast. You can do like a pyrethrin or a canola oil would take that. As far as spider mites, you could do like a malathion or like a Fertilome systemic insect drench if it was scale. Scale, it almost has, Lori, like a white cast on the back side of the foliage. Scale usually attacks a plant. My thoughts are, Lori, take a chunk of the plant, even though it's defoliated, bring it down to the store. Bring a sample with you, and let's find out. Because if it is alive, we want to encourage some growth, and quick spray might resolve that, no problem. Euonymus is tough. It will really survive a lot if we can take care of that.
And then if it is dead, can I plant something else there?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's probably not a viral. When there's a viral, then we suggest, like if it was an oak or a maple and they have verticillium wilt, not to plant another maple, but euonymus, it's not going to have that. But what I do is if you are removing it, remove it all, remove roots and everything. So you're, mm-hmm. if it is like a gall that you've extracted the whole plant.
It didn't have any bumps on the leaves. They were just little tiny yellow spots.
Yeah. Yep. My thoughts are probably not bumps, probably is a spider mite, is my guess. That will make a plant probably defoliate the fastest in the late summer months. And they're sucking insects that take the moisture out of the stem and the leaf, and the leaves tend to drop from that. But if you want to scoop some of those leaves up and then bring a branch in, we can identify it for sure and get you a pretty quick remedy if it is not dead. Now, what side does it face, Lori?
North.
North. So euonymus is good, but actually shade is probably one of our biggest additions at the store. So we got a lot of nice shade plants that might do better than the euonymus.
All right.
Yeah, take a couple shots, maybe the house, and come on down, and we'll walk through with you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Blessed day to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Larry, got any plants suffering the house?
Any plants suffering?
Are you got a green thumb?
No, I do not. I was not blessed with the green thumb.
I know.
Dad did, but I just never picked it up. We don't even have house plants. My wife and I, neither one of us can keep them alive. And I love them, too. That's the thing. I just never had any luck with them.
Well, Larry, you should have come to the class last week. We were doing stone in plant form. We had a class that you put stones in a pot and you make it look like cactus, paint them up. And they're green and white, and it looked like little plants in the pot. Larry, you don't have to water it.
No, you don't have
to take care of it. No pruning.
I couldn't kill those.
No bugs and disease.
So, good deal.
So Lori is not alone, everybody. Euonymus is a big family, and Burning Bush is also another one in that same family of Euonymus that gets spider mite really bad. Right now, Alberta spruce gets spider mite really bad. Arborvitas. So if you guys want to check, we've said it before, take a 8.5 by 11 sheet of white clear or white paper, stick it in the plant, tap the plant, tap the foliage, see if you can get something to fall on the paper. Bring it back out, identify it. You can rub your hand across. If you smear any red, chances are that's red spider mites. And definitely my Alberta spruce at home has it. It has turned totally brown. New growth is coming out bright green, but it's not a dead brown. It's a smoky brown. So Burning Bush, Euonymus, Arborvitas, I'll take a look right now. It's easily controlled, but can be a challenge too. Told Lori a few minutes ago about how many plants have come into the store that maybe would do good on a north side. We have grown so much as far as availability of plants. 20 years ago, we didn't have all of the trade names and hybridizing that is going on in the Michigan market. It is actually fantastic to have new varieties come on all the time. We are key growers with the Proven Winter family, and now we are also joined up with Ball Seed, or just like Ball Ornamental, Ball Seed Canning, and it is a great lineup. There has been a few shrubs that a couple of our managers have kind of fallen in love with, and Haza and Sherry have been giving me little notes on some of the cool things that have been coming in the store. So we can go to that list once we take a couple calls. They came on real quick, Larry. Sorry about that.
All right. And we have Kathy in Pawpaw. Good morning, Kathy.
Hey,
Kathy. Well, good morning, Mr. Waddell.
How are you today?
I am fine, thank you.
How can I be of help, ma'am?
Well, I have about three questions. Mm-hmm. First of all, I have some very tall rhododendrons, and I need a smaller one, and I'm looking for a smaller red one. And I've looked on the internet, and it doesn't seem like there's much offered.
Yeah. Kathy, if I was going to pick one, and it is a sensitive plant, but we still carry it in the rhododendron family, is called Baden, B-A-D-E-N, Baden Baden.
Uh-huh.
It is a small red leaf, a red flower, full-size leaf dwarf. It sounds funny. It's not in the PJM family, so it looks like a full-size rhododendron, but it's got a small leaf, maturity of probably about 36 inch.
Oh.
And bright red, early spring bloomer. It is not a late spring, and very, very nice plant.
Oh.
What I'd say, Kathy, is that plant would be, if I picked all the rhododendron, that's a little more on the sensitive side on that one, but that is a nice choice. I would say in another small one, not red, though, but it's a bright pink, Kathy, might be Holden, H-O-L-D-E-N. Holden is an awesome producer of flower. It flowers so heavy at a young age, that might be a nice alternative, too, and that maxes out under 5.
Oh, okay. Well, now, when would be a good time to, I want to take out a couple that I have and replace them. Mm-hmm. When would be a good time to do that?
Yep, and are you transplanting those?
Well, I Yeah, I thought I'd try to find another place to put them.
Yeah. Ashley, Kathy, you're coming up probably in the next 30 days. You're going to be ideal. End of August, middle of September is a good time to move. I would not move rhododendron in the late fall if you were going to move them so they would get rooted in. It would either be early September or in April is when I would do that.
Oh, in April.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. And you can be successful with a plant starter, a little rooting hormone when you transplant them, because rhododendron will be all a huge pancake of roots. There won't be any taproot to them.
Oh.
So a lot of peat moss, a lot of compost, cow manure. If it's a big rhododendron, to make sure it stakes up, so it doesn't blow over in the winter.
Should you trim it back?
I would. I'd cut it back pretty hard when you're moving it. Yep, you're cutting and severing the roots, take 20 or 30% off so the plant doesn't wilt at the same time.
Oh.
You might cut off some flower, but then you'll save the plant.
Right, okay. Well, now, does it need a lot of water after that?
Transplanting, you're going to want water for sure for the season. Oh, yeah. Rhododendron, once established, don't need a ton of water, but to get them rooted in, that's why I suggest a lot of sphagnum peat moss and compost to keep that moisture in.
All right. Now, hydrangeas, too.
Mm-hmm.
When would be a good time to transplant some of those?
Yep. Hydrangea might be a little later, maybe the 15th of September. Rhododendrons set their flowers in the early summer, and that's why I suggest late August, early September. But I would say once we get a good hard frost and those plants start turning colors in the hydrangeas is when I would move those.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Good luck in the garden today.
All right.
Thank you, Kathy. And we will be right back with more of Over the Garden Fancy in just a moment on 590 WKZO.
If you've been wanting more shade in your landscape but just haven't had the time to plant the trees, Waddell's has a deal for you. Come in this week, pick out a tree, and Waddell's experts will deliver and plant it for you at huge savings. How about a flowering pear tree with its gorgeous blooms in the spring? A sugar maple with its brilliant autumn leaf colors, a crab apple that will provide fruit for the birds, or an oak for cooling shade in the summer. Waddell's Michigan Certified Nursery Specialist will be happy to help you pick the right trees for your landscape. Then they'll deliver and plant them when it's convenient for you. The planting sale includes delivery in the Kalamazoo Portage area, the compost, and the labor to plant it. Trees in 15 to 20 gallon size pots can be planted for just $29.99. Trees in 25 to 45 gallon pots can be planted for just $49.99. And extra-large bald and burlap trees can be planted for just $99.99. You can do something for the environment while you enjoy the shade in summer and the beautiful colors each fall when you plant hardy Waddell-grown trees from Waddell's Nursery, Forest, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Millman 12th Street.
And just a couple of minutes left, but we're going to try to squeeze in Russ in Richland. Good morning, Russ.
Hey, Russ, how are you?
Hi, just fine.
How can I be of help this morning in the garden?
Well, a couple winters ago when it was so mild, I was at a retired landscaper's house, and his whole yard was a beautiful green because he had evergreens.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really impressed. You know, they had the ground cover ones and such.
Sure.
But and it looked really cheerful for winter. Anyway, but I have a different area. I have shade, and I have deer that eat everything because the neighbors feed it corn and they come to my yard for dessert and salad. So I've been trying to figure out what would grow that's green, and a friend told me holly, and I thought maybe pyrus. Is there anything that's shade and evergreen and deers don't like?
Yes and no, and not pyrus. Pyrus, they'll go to pyrus japonica pretty easy.
Okay.
But we work pretty hard, Russ, on a deer list each year. University of Michigan and Michigan State works pretty hard on that. Michigan State more so, and the ag department. And then we get that, compile it, and then we have a seldom eaten, often and severely. And so we have that list at the store. We could send it to you. But there are some evergreens, Russ, that are good, and there are some deciduous plants that are good for the shade. Some arborvitas are totally getting demolished by the deer, like emerald green arborvitas.
Yeah, I have to fence mine in.
Okay, but techni arborvitas, they don't touch at our store. They'll strip emerald green and leave the technis alone. There are spring grove, and that is another type of arborvita that they don't seem to mess with.
Okay.
So there are some things, and if you want to hang on the line, I'll get you a list from you, or an address or a phone number from you, and we'll get you that list.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Russ.
All right. Thanks for the call, Russ. Thank you for joining us for Over the Garden Fence with your host, Andy Waddell. We'll be back next Saturday at 9 for another edition. Located at the corner of Milliman 12th Street, Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center. Join us again next Saturday at 9 after the news for Over the Garden Fence. Coming up next, your financial planner with Ron Weiser on 590 WKZO.